Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Max and friends. He says what he wants. Ain't holding nothing back, back. Got the recipe for life. And he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic from sex style to gossip.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night edition of Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. Well, there's so much turmoil going on in the world. I mean, everyone's focused on, you know, the whole Germany winning today, and there's such deeper news going on and lives really being affected. If we could just take all that energy that we put on this thing called the World Cup and focus it on international affairs, I think that knowledge is power and the world will be a better place when people have the knowledge of what's really happening to our neighbors, to our families, to our friends. We're all connected. One is one and heart equals heart. So we're going to have an interesting show tonight because I have a wonderful lady joining me named Lee Broda. She's an actor and producer, and she's going to be with us in a moment, as well as her mother, Smadar, who's in Israel right now, live as we speak. So it's going to be interesting to see how daily lives are happening in Israel, and you're not getting any filterization of CNN news. You're getting real talk tonight on Max and Friends. Then afterwards, we have a really amazing show going on because we have Valerie Love is joining us back, and we're going to talk about using your intuition. So excuse me if my mic is off a little bit. Let me see if it's better now because... We're just doing our thing here, Max Friends. I want you to tweet me, at Max Tucci. Let me know what's going on in your life. Let me know what's happening. I want to know because I think that there's an important message that we're going to be saying tonight. Hold on one second. I got this fan going up in this studio. I got to turn it off. But, yeah, so tweet me, at Max Tucci. I want to know what's happening with y'all. And, yeah, we're going to figure it out tonight here on Max and Friends. So let's just get there. We got a hot topic tonight, so hit it, hot topics.
Hey, y'all, guys and girls, pick a topic and you know we're gonna drop it on.
That's the fact that tonight we're going to pick a topic, we're going to drop it. The topic is life in Israel every day. I met actor-producer Lee Broda when I was at the amazing Sundance Film Festival, and we connected there, and that's just how life is. There's no mistakes that you meet someone, and then down the road, you reconnect with them because it's all that beautiful web of friendship, of what's happening, of brothers and sisters and life in general. I think we're all just one big family, but sometimes, you know, like every family, there's some fighting going on. So, Lee Broda, welcome to Max and Friends, and I thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Max, and good evening, everyone, and thank you for having me and my mom on your show. We're both very happy to be there and, yeah, and discuss some important things that are happening in the world today that I feel like people aren't aware or just not getting the right perspective or the right, you know, point of view about what's really going on over there.
Exactly.
So thank you for the opportunity. Yeah.
No, it's my pleasure to have you here. And where are you right now? You're in California, right?
I'm in Los Angeles. I'm actually on set. We're on our break right now, so I can hop on a call with you. But yes, I'm in Los Angeles right now.
And your mother's in Israel.
Yeah, my mom is 10 hours ahead and 15 hours flight. Yeah, in Israel.
Yeah. So, yes. What I want you to do is set up basically how it is for you living in America, knowing that your mom is in Israel and there's sirens going off because bombs are dropping. Tell us the feelings that you're going through at this moment.
Mm-hmm. It's scary to me. It's not just my mom. My entire family lives in Israel, both sides, my mom and my dad and the entire family. And I only been living here for 7 years and I kind of forgot how it is to live under like constant threat and fear. So to me, it's actually scary because I forgot, you know, the normal day-to-day of living in Israel a little bit and got used to the normal life of living in the States. So it's just scary, actually. That's the word that can describe it, concerning. Well,
absolutely. Now, Smadar, thank you so much for joining us from Israel. You're in Nezionia. And
yeah.
What is it for you every morning when you wake? Are you able to sleep? Like, mm-hmm. What's going on in your life every day that you want people here to know?
Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy life that we live for the last few days. It's simply our life is upside down. You know, we have just a few seconds to get to the shelter. And, you know, I live half an hour from Tel Aviv. It's the center of Israel. And mm-hmm. it's crazy because there is not one place in Israel that is safe. Because we don't talk about the places near the border. We talk about Israel, Jerusalem, Haifa, the north towns, the south towns. All the cities are in the same situation. We are just listening all the day to the news, and we have a few seconds to get to the shelter. And it's crazy. I have old parents. My father is in a wheelchair, and they have no shelter. And it's very difficult to take him to a safe place. And the little children, they are not going to school, and they are not going to children kindergarten. And it's very difficult, you know. You know, yesterday, as we see on the TV, the World Cup in Brazil, yeah, and on the screen, simultaneously, they were they show the places that there are sirens now. So you see the World Cup on TV, and at the same time, you run to the shelter. It's crazy. Crazy.
Absolutely crazy. Now, tell me, for you, you know, what is your daily life right now consist of? Like, what are you going through moment by moment over in Nezionia?
You know, yesterday morning, the siren woke me up at 6 a.m. in the morning. There was a siren. It was the first time that the siren was such an early hour in the morning. And we jumped out of bed. And I ran to wake up my son. He's 18 years old. But, you know, our children, we wake up him and run to the shelter. We have in every house, every modern house in Israel, there is one room that is a shelter. And we ran to the shelter. We close the windows and doors, and we sit and open TV, and we wait to hear the bomb exploding because they send rockets. But for our luck, for our good luck, we have a very good defense systems that cannot allow the bombs to explode. So we sit. And we sit quietly and hear the bomb as they explode the rockets. And after 10 minutes, we are allowed to get out of the shelter. And, you know, we continue our regular life during the sirens. Uh-huh. We try to live a regular life and a routine life, but it's not so simple.
You know,
when I came...
What's the biggest misconception you think that American news is portraying right now about Israel?
Misconception?
Yeah, because there's so much misconception. Every news story is different, you know, and there's really not a straight story of what's really going on. So from your eyes, being in Israel right now, what do you really feel that the Americans need to know?
Yeah, I think when I watch the TV shows in the international TV shows, I think that they miss to reflect the situation in Israel, because you know here in Israel our luck is that the rockets are not destroying buildings in Israel, but you know they send more than 400 rockets to Israel, but it's just luck that no one hurt people, mm-hmm. but they. What they see, what you see in the international TV, you see just, I think, more than their side. I know there are innocent people that are getting hurt there in Gaza Strip. Mm. But we have no choice. We have no choice. They're hiding the rockets. The rockets under buildings that citizens live in. So we have no choice. If we want to defend ourselves, we have to get to their infrastructure of terror and destroy it. And I think that the international TV shows show more what happened there in Gaza. Mm-hmm. But you know, people in the south border of Israel are living for more than 10 years under attack. Mm-hmm. Children study in shelters, go to sleep in shelters. Their routine life is to defend themselves from rockets. It's a crazy life for 10 years. Think about yourself living for 10 years in such fear.
It's such a jail. It's such a prison of the mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think, can I add something, Max?
Please,
yeah. Yeah, I think the best, because I'm in L.A. and there was a big protest today, pro-Israeli against, and another protest that was pro-Palestine. And I think the main thing is Israel being blamed for not being humane or for occupying Gaza. And I just wanted to kind of set it straight a little bit, because Israel left Gaza, the military left Gaza a few years ago. And what in Israel, because I served and my entire family served, so we know what are the international rules that the army, the military has to kind of live by. And I think Israel, comparing even to being in the States, is one of the most humane militaries out there. Because in Gaza, when Israel is shooting a rocket to destroy the destroy the rockets that are shooting into Israel. So they're warning their citizens, they're warning the civilians, they're asking them to leave their houses so they're not going to get hurt. The civilians in Gaza are getting text messages, and there's a whole system telling him that the military is about to shoot a bomb into a specific place to destroy the Hamas and all the terrorist organizations grouping. And I think one military warns, you know, the other side that they're about to attack, you know? So I feel like a lot of those things is Israel is trying to be so patient and so accommodating to the citizens of Gaza, because we understand both sides are getting hurt. And the Hamas, which is the terrorist organization, is the one ruling in Gaza, which I think is one of the biggest problems in the Middle East, that we have a lot of terrorist organizations, in power. So that's the problem. Why peace and, you know, living together side by side is not happening, and why the situation in the Middle East is going on. Because you have one modern country, which is a democracy, in the heart of this whole mess, you know, with Syria, Egypt, and Gaza, and
Now, let me ask you a question, because this is such. It's just so beautiful to be able to have you both here tonight to tell the story so that people can see it in a different light, you know, that all families are being affected here in America and all over the world. And also, obviously, you know, in your mom's hometown of Nes Zionia. So, Lee Broda, what is your wish? What is your ultimate wish right now for the well-being of your Israel?
Of Israel? I hope it will be safe again. Because Israel is such a beautiful place, and I hate seeing it, you know, being destroyed slowly by missiles and rockets. And I just hope they'll have some safe nights and we'll find a way to peace. You know, I think that's something, since I was a little girl during even the Gulf War, I was sitting in a shelter as a little kid in Israel, and I can't believe 20 years after, it's the same reality. It's like, you know, we're supposed to... You know, things are supposed to change, but it's the same. And I hope, you know, things will get better and the Hamas will, you know, stop killing its citizens and use them to fight a war that is not leading anywhere, you know. So I think peace is the ultimate thing. Yeah.
And Smadar, what is your ultimate wish for your Israel?
Oh, man. I hope to get my life back. I just want, for the minute from now, I want to get it back. And I know, I want to, you know, it's summertime in Israel, and we like to go to the beach, and we can go to the beach. We can go. We were afraid to go to the beach, so the beautiful beaches are empty. I want my life back. I want to when I go to work in the morning with my car, I don't want to listen to the radio and be so, you know, anxious to hear where are the sirens and if I have to stop my car and run to a shelter at the highway. I want just my life back. It's a simple, yeah, a simple ask, no?
Well, I hope I hope it will happen sooner than later, and I hope that you'll be able to have peace in your life just so that you can actually have your daily routine of life back. Smadar and Lee Broda, I thank you so much for joining me. Lee Broda from California and Smadar from Israel in Nezionia. Everyone has a story that needs to be told. So tonight we're telling the story of people living in Israel right now and how they just want their life back. And when we get back, we're going to have Valerie Love joining me. So I'm going to leave you right now with a mantra for world peace. And when we're back, Valerie Love. Thank you, ladies. Good night.
And I'd like you to please close your eyes. Close your and experience a long moment of quietness. And as you're being quiet, I'd like you to begin tuning in to every single sound that you hear, including my voice, till all sounds blend into one tune. And relax. Give your mind and body permission to relax, beginning with your forehead, your eyelids, your facial muscles, your head, the back of your neck, your shoulders, your arms, your chest, your stomach. Allow your breathing to be normal. Normal breath. Normal heartbeat. I'd like you to become aware of your heartbeat. That is the sound that will keep you grounded and within your bodies. You may hear everything that I say, and your mind will be open and receptive to positive suggestion only. And again, relax. Now experience a long moment of quietness while you're getting settled in the state of being. And now as you're feeling the relaxation down to the tip of your toes, I'd like you to visualize a brilliant white light in the form of a ball. No other love means more to in your hands. Touching my soul. I'd like you to take this light and roll it up and down mentally, your body. The front, the back, the sides. That is your own creative healing light. That is the element they're going to use to cleanse and purify your body with, the space that you occupy, your home, the environment.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. That was Maria Papapetros, you know, psychic to the stars. We have her on Max and Friends often, and she did a beautiful world peace meditation along with the voice of the most beautiful actress that I know. I just think she's beautiful. And I can't remember her name. Isn't that funny right now? Because I'm just so, like, focused on my next guest, which is Valerie Love, because we have so much to talk about, the 33-day path to using your pure intuition. Has it gotten you in trouble, people, in a good way? Have you told the truth? Well, we want to know what you're up to. If you want to call in and let us know, the number here is 323-203-0815. I have some agua de Florida right here, and I just got to clean out this energy, like, boom, shakalaka, clarity up in here. Valerie Love, welcome back to Mac and Friends. Help me clean this space.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Max, for having me back. We had such a ball the last time. I can't wait to see what happens today.
And I know it's going to be beautiful. Now, first and foremost, where are you on your 33-day path of using your pure intuition?
I am learning and discovering how out of sync with my intuition I can be at times. That's where I am right now. I am horrified at the discovery that I have so much work to do in the way of really aligning with intuition moment by moment by moment. That was a gift for me. Because I thought I was pretty aligned.
Beautiful.
Now I see.
No, that is like, you know, that is not only is it so beautiful, but it's so necessary because so many people are going through that. I have that feeling that so many people are going through the, I didn't know what my intuition was and how detached I was from it. That's beautiful. Well, just so you know, I've been tweeting and I've been doing my thing on Facebook and everyone's tweeting how you do and how are you all doing tonight. But for me, where I am on this path, you know, what scares me, I'll tell you, Valerie Love, is that it makes me sometimes want to ignore it because it's so present.
Yes.
It's so present that I'm like, no, I don't want to, not right now.
Not now, intuition, go away, come again another day.
You know, and for me, that's the beauty of it because it takes my vibrational being and it throws me off course. Like the intuition will be so strong, it's like banging at the door, and I'm like, not right now.
Yes.
Because I'm fearful of it. Not fearful like, ooh, it's going to be, you know, but I'm just like, all right. I don't know how to explain it, but I think you got it. Do you got it?
I definitely have it. And you know, because intuition does push us beyond the comfort zone, it pushes us beyond what we think we know. It is scary to really follow your intuition and everything. It'll be like Indiana Jones stepping out, and only when you step out does the floor underneath you appear.
Isn't that, and then all of a sudden you got wings.
Yes.
Right?
That's where wings come from, stepping off a cliff. People think, you know, you have the wings first. No, that's not the order. You step off the cliff first, then you get the wings.
And then you just fly into the beautiness. You know, I've got to tell you, last week I was in Colorado. I was sitting on the roof of our house in Boulder, and I saw the most beautiful bald eagle. And I saw this thing just flew by, and it was above us. I thought it was a hang glider. It was so huge. And I go to my friend Ash. I'm like, Ash, there's a bald eagle. He's like, yes, there is. I'm like, no, there really is. You know, then I came downstairs. I was like, all right, what is the meaning of a bald eagle in my life? I got to do my animal totem real quick.
Animal totem. Go look it up. Bald eagle, what does it mean? I had the most incredible experience today.
Beautiful. Tell me about your experience.
I found a feather. Oh, no, it was a white feather. And whenever I find a white feather, I know that there's something to pay attention to. An angel has dropped a feather in my path, and it's something for me to pay close attention to. I was about to check into a hotel, and we're in Florida. We're on travel. I was about to check into a hotel, and something said, there's so much more for you. That was my intuitive voice. There's so much more for you. Like, really? Is this all you're asking the universe for? I was just kind of looking for function. Mm-hmm. Well, it's true. I went back to the front desk, and I decided not to check into that hotel, and I decided instead to check myself into a resort, myself and my daughter. Mm-hmm. So we go over and talk to the other people who are the resort people, and we work out this incredible deal. So I'm sitting in this fabulous resort right now, mm-hmm. overlooking a gorgeous lake, palm trees outside the beautiful lanai, the deck outside, screened in. It's wonderful. And all of it came because of an intuitive nudge to go in a different direction.
So you make me want to cry.
Isn't it beautiful that the universe is just nudging us gently upward? There's so much more for you.
Isn't that so beautiful, just to rest in that peace, to know that when we're going down one road, all of a sudden our intuition is like, you know what, baby? Just turn left.
Yes, go left if you want to. Because of course, right.
And if you go right, it's okay too. You know, just be in the moment of the deliciousness of the moments. Now, here I have a question for you, because we have a great tweet about intuition. Now, what if your intuition tells you that something bad is going to happen? That's the question. So that's not
Follow
my
it.
Question.
Oh, that, yes, that's a good one. Follow it. Because a lot of times, I have a video about this on YouTube, we get premonitions about things that are going to happen that are fateful things. Everyone has had dreams about probably Katrina, about 911. And if you keep a dream journal, you'll be able to see that most people had a dream about Katrina. And most people had dreams about 911 before they happened, because before so-called bad things happen, we all get the cue. And most of the time it comes in the dream space, in the dream state, same place intuition comes from, the other world, the beyond. And sometimes we don't pay attention to it, we brush it off. However, sometimes it's so insistent that we know, we call our kid or we call somebody and say, don't do so-and-so or don't go that way or whatever the case may be. I can't rest because I had this dream. Follow it. Follow it.
Follow it. You know, it's interesting because when the tsunami happened, all of the animals ran up the mountain. People were watching the animals running up the mountain, and up the mountain, you're just going, you're going to that place. You actually spoke about going up to the mountain recently, didn't you?
Yeah.
Why do I feel like you did? You did.
Yes. I think that was on that Boost episode you were watching the other day. The mountaintop consciousness. Yes.
Yes.
Consciousness.
Yes. And now explain, because that's the beautiful visualization, that when there's about to be terror, destruction, fear, and just all this, the vibrational shift happening, animals are so in tune with the vibration of the shift that they'll run to the top of the mountain. Why don't we go to the top of the mountain when that shift happens?
That's an excellent metaphor. It really is, Matt. To go to that ascended place in consciousness that's above. The animals were probably watching the tsunami happening, saying,
They were. People saw them. People saw them running up the mountain before the wave came, and they were like, what is going on?
Yeah, I heard every animal that was not fettered or tethered to something left, including the snakes. They were like slithering up the mountain. Yeah.
So why can't we get in that vibe? Because we all have the capability. If one human can do it, because we're in the consciousness of being human beings, we can all do what each other does. So if one person can get in that shift and get in that vibration and get in that flow, how can we tune in to know when we need to go to refuge up on the mountain?
We've got to engage in the daily spiritual practice. I talked to my daughter about being addicted to her iPhone. She's she's 13, and the generation that I see, they have the iPhone like 6 inches, or Android, or whatever it is, six inches from their nose, and their thumbs are going continuously. And there really has to be a time where we draw away from technology, from everything on the outside, and we turn within. And the voice on the inside has got to be the loudest voice we hear. And when I say loudest, I don't mean loud in the sound, in volume, because intuition always speaks in a whisper, and the outside is always very loud. When I say loud, I mean the most compelling voice that we listen to, the most influential voice in our lives, has to be the inner voice. And the way that we tune in, the way that I tune in, is by withdrawing attention from the outside, because we can be really out of focus, and turn that attention within in daily spiritual practice, prayer, meditation, turning within, reflection, introspection, and communing with the self. And this then becomes the most influential thing in our lives, the inner being. Yes?
I'm with you.
But if it says left, it's like, oh, yes, left. And if it says right, yes, right. Not, oh, wait a minute, let me finish sending this text first. You know, they're totally mm-hmm. like Instagram, FaceTime
right,
kind of
whole,
kids.
Mm-hmm. Waste of time. Waste of time. Hold on real quick, because I just want to just switch the vibration in here, because I'm all big on sound tonight and just getting the vibrations going. So what is everybody listening to tonight? Hit it. LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. If you're joining me now, I have Valerie Love joining me. She's back. We're talking about the 33-day path to using your pure intuition. Now, you know, I had Randy Spelling on, and he's Being in Flow, which I love Randy Spelling. And he put up on Facebook today, Valerie Love, how much screen time can you cut down on this week? This means phone, computer, and television. Let's set a personal goal here. So his is 30 minutes a day. So I'm joining him on 30 minutes a day to cut down on iPad, mobile phone, computer. So I like this direction of being in the flow. Let's start cutting down. Start cutting it down. Do you agree with this?
I love it. Let's cut down the screen time. I love the way he phrases that. Cut down the screen time. I told my daughter, we were watching the fireworks today over the Magic Kingdom fireworks at Disney World. And my daughter had the iPhone. And I said, okay. Phone-free moment. She knows when I say phone-free moment, that means put the phone down. And I said, you've got to sometimes put the telephone down and engage with this great big thing called life all around you. We've got fireworks in front of us, but some people would rather go to YouTube and watch fireworks on the screen. They don't compare to fireworks in real life.
No, it's so true, and it's the beauty all around us, you know, and people are joining us tonight because we want to know how your journey's going, about your 33-day path to letting do everything your pure intuition tells you to do, people. So we're thank you, because life is unfolding for you, it's unfolding for me, it's clearly unfolding for Valerie Love. And now you're all asking the question, who is Valerie Love, and where did you find her? Well, I'll tell you, I have these great email sent to me every day from Ian Levanson, and there was a wonderful passage that Valerie Love wrote there, and that's how we connected. And then I said, I'm going to call her and get her on my show, and here we are. I feel like we've known each other for a long time.
Oh, yes, kindred spirits.
It's so nice. It's beautiful. But now, so tell my listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do and why you're so in the flow.
Well, for 26 years, I was a Jehovah's Witness, and I was very much in a box, and not necessarily because that particular religion is in a box, because I was living in a box in my experience of that religion. And at 30, I had a soul awakening, and the soul awakening looked like a deep, deep, deep depression that I almost took myself out. And what came of that was the soul said, either wake up and live, or just end it right here. It's in this incarnation, and hey, start fresh again. And I made the decision to live. I made the decision to live. And the first thing the voice said to me, this inner voice, it said, get up, get out of the bed. I was laying in the bed, Max. The lights were off. It was dark in the house. I couldn't open the curtains. It was like vampire, like, you know, if you let the light in, feeling like I would just crackle under sunlight. And the voice said, get up. And I got up, and it said, get washed. And I got all showered and get dressed. I got all showered and dressed. And for a person in a deep depression, that's a major hurdle to even just get up, get showered, and get dressed. And then it said, go outside. I went outside, and it said, breathe. And I did that very thing. I took in this deep breath. It said, look up. And then it said, walk. It was giving me inch by inch, literally, instructions, and not more than two things strung together, because where my consciousness was at that time, this was 22 years ago, I would not have been able to follow more than two or three things strung together. So it gave me the instructions literally one by one, and I followed it. Something in me was telling me follow it, because I knew if I followed it, it would take me out of where I was, because I was in depression, despair, powerlessness, victim, abandonment, deep pain in the pain body, all of that stuff that I no longer experience. So I started on this incredible journey, and I started reading books and studying and going to workshops and going to retreats and learning why I'm here and what I'm going to do, and I started doing it. And next thing you know, I had no idea where the road was going to take me. I landed Max and Friends. Yay! So I say, hey, that's pretty good.
You know, it's beautiful because you were listening to your intuition, your pure intuition.
Yeah,
it's so beautiful. You know, I know it sounds so cheesy and corny, and people are like, Max, you're such a mush tonight. I'm like literally getting tweets like that because I'm in a space right now of just enjoying everything around me. And it's like when you just stop to listen to the conversation without interrupting, you will learn people's stories. You know, I dare you all this week. Oh, I think here it is. I knew there was going to be a message. You know, we talk about the message, Valerie.
Oh,
Love.
Yes, we talked about that on Facebook. Here
it
goes.
I can take it. I can take it. And I think what we need to try to do this week is engage in a conversation with someone without using the word I. And just appreciate who they are for the minute without telling them your struggles, your happiness, your good vibrations, your low vibrations, whatever it's going to be. Engage in conversation without saying I. Because so quickly someone says, oh, well, you know, my father died. Oh, well, my father died. You know, I was like, no, it's not about you this week. So let's remove ourselves from this week. We're still going to do the pure intuition, but let's remove ourselves from this week and just listen to the stories of others. You know, I wrote on yesterday on Facebook, life becomes even more beautiful when we stop and notice the smiles of others. Love is all around us. We just have to notice it. And it reminds me of the quote from Alice Walker from The Color Purple. I think it pisses God off if you walk by The Color Purple in a field somewhere and don't notice it.
Yes.
So, yes. You know, we need to notice one another because how many of us are hiding behind a fake smile just to get by our day? And then when someone tells us their story, we don't want to hear theirs. Listen to other people's stories. We're not alone. We're not alone. So I think it's important to take the eye out of this week. Sounds good, Valerie Love? In conversation.
It sounds good. Love it. I love you. I started to say I love it. I took it out right away. So I'm listening right away.
You know, it's good. Well, we could start it in about 15 minutes, midnight East Coast. Because I have so much more to say tonight. But, you know, it's a challenge because when we eliminate I from the conversation, you know, it's so beautiful to just hear your story. And so when you're telling me your story, I can appreciate it because I want to just listen to it and just be in the moment of who you are and the beauty of who you are because you have so much going on in your life and you just are in this state of beauty. And I just see it. You know, I was watching Buzz the other day. I loved it so much. And I did. And, you know, I subscribed to your YouTube page called Boost, B-O-O-S-T. It's Valerie Love's YouTube. So subscribe to it. You'll get messages. And I am the Holy Son of God was so powerful that I had to, like, A, tweet it, and B, email you it because we needed you to know that there's a validation that I got the message and so many other people. So before we continue this conversation, let's just go into the last I am the Holy Son of God right now for the day.
Oh, isn't that a delicious thought, isn't it?
How did you get that? It's the truth and it's in front of our face and it's like our intuition. Why do we run from the fact that we are the holy children of God?
We are the holy children of God because there is this voice inside us, they call it the negative ego, whatever it is, that really wants to convince us that we are other than holy, worthy, pure love itself, a big ball of pure love. This thing is based on fear and the I and selfishness and its own survival. We have that thing working inside of us, that mechanism. And our job is to know that that thing is not so. No, it's not. That's not true. That little voice that's talking in my head now, that's not true. What is true is love. There's oneness only. There's only one of us here. Max and I are one. All of us are one. And we are one great big ball of love. And we came from love. Love created us like itself. And that's the truth. And that's all I'm going to follow. That's all I'm going to live by. And I made a commitment to love. I even changed my name. That was not the name I was born with. I changed my name so that I could remind myself of who I really am.
That's so beautiful. You know, it's true, because this world, if you take one atom out of this world, that's it. You know, we are all together in this. And why, like, you know, we were talking earlier to this beautiful, beautiful woman, Smadar. She's in Israel, in Nes Zionia, Israel. And she's like, I just want my life back. And, you know, here we're like, and there's no, to me, I don't believe in a scale of pain. Hard equals hard. Pain equals pain. So whatever our pains are and whatever is hard for us is. So with that said, it's like, you know, we always want to measure our pain. But why can't we just say, you know what, our pain is all equal, our love is all equal, our joys are all equal. Why do you think it is that when our intuition comes in and says, you know what, I just need a love, do we ignore it? Why can't we just let that vibration flow?
Fear. I have found, Max, that the thing we're afraid of most is pure, unconditional love. We are, as a human race, human species, we say we want love, but I have found that many of us are terrified of pure, true, unconditional love, because it is vulnerable, it is open, it is raw, it is beautiful, it is enduring, it tells the truth. And I find that that's the thing I think really that people are running from, pure, unconditional love.
You know what's so beautiful about pure unconditional love? People say, oh, love is hard. It is the exact opposite. Love is the most easy, beautiful thing that we have on this earth. We're the ones that make it hard.
That voice in the head.
We start believing the stories that love is hard, our intuition is wrong, we're not the sweetest, we're not beautiful, we're not the holy children of God, but in fact, we need to stand on the ground, on the solid ground. It's going to get church up in here.
Go ahead, go right ahead. I'm all for that.
And I shall not be moved.
That's right, that's right.
Of being the tree planted by the water, that this is a fact that we are. How do we develop the mind to understand the fact that we are the children of God, to constantly remind us that our intuition comes from love, and love is easy, so we need to be reminded, finish the sentence, how do we remind ourselves to be constantly in the space of love?
Well, I live the six, and I teach Live the Six on Boost, our morning inspiration show that you're referring to, Max, and mm-hmm. Live the Six means prayer. Six daily practices, prayer, meditation, yoga, inspired study, that means filling the mind with things that are inspiring, inspired community, that means what we're doing now, and inspired service, that means what we're doing now as well. So as we're communing, we're also serving. And in service, it's the selfless giving of self and gifts from a place of overflow and fullness and joy and love. All of what I feel and experience right now in this space. So live the six, and if we live the six moment by moment, and let's say we live six daily practices, maybe today, 1 hour of the day, we were in pure unconditional love, and 23 hours we were in fear, meltdown, unworthiness, whatever, whatever. And let's say tomorrow we're 90 minutes in pure unconditional love, and only 22 and a half hours in fear, meltdown. Oh. Well, that's great progress. Keep doing that. Keep doing that.
What does fear mean to you, Valerie Love? Define fear in your definition of consciousness.
The absence of love. It's a no thing in itself. It's not real. It doesn't exist. It's a no thing. It's like if we block out the sun, there will be a shadow. A shadow is not a thing. It's the absence of something. Mm-hmm. And so I liken fear to a basement. I used to live in a house where there was this crawl space for a basement. It wasn't a full basement. It was like this little 4-foot kind of thing. And it used to get water in it because we lived, it was out on the Eastern Shore where there was a lot of water, and basements often got water in it. Well, you get a basement with water and it's dark, all kinds of stuff can fester there. So every so often, of course, mice come and bugs and things like that. We have to clear it out, call the people, let them blow it out and treat it and so forth. That's fear. It's that we have cut off the air, cut off the light, and now there's this no thing. But in the absence of the energy, of pure unconditional love, stuff can fester that festers in an environment of darkness. So for me, that's what fear is. It's not a thing. It's a no thing.
For me, my grandmother always said, fear is false evidence appearing real.
Yes.
That's simple.
Yes.
So we're going to go into this week fearless, because fear is false evidence appearing real. And we're going to go into, is this permission to say I am the Holy Son of God? Just what I was saying, because I got a confusing tweet that you can say I this week. My point is engage in one conversation with someone where you hear their story instead of telling yours. That's what I meant, to clear the confusion. Clarity.
Yes.
So that's the challenge. Just have a beautiful conversation where you hear somebody's story without telling yours. That's what I offer. But on that note, we're going to wrap this up in a minute. But I know that there's a message. I feel it. So Valerie Love, I'm putting you on the spot right now, but I know it's not the spot because you're in the flow. But before we go, can you give a prayer to our listeners tonight? Just let it come from that pit right there where you feel it right now in your stomach and just vocalize the words that God has ordained for you to say to my listeners tonight.
Yes, be my honor. Be my honor. So let us close our eyes and turn within and simply know. Hold the knowing that you are, I am, the holy child of God, and that there is nothing for you to be afraid of. There is nothing to fear. So, Mother, Father, God, in this moment, I know the beauty and perfection of Max, of all Max's friends, of everyone listening. I know their inherent good, worth, value. I know that each of us is called to a powerful purpose and plan on this planet. And I know that as we stand in it, walk in it, live it, breathe it, eat it, sleep it, all of our brothers and sisters on this planet are blessed. And my prayer is that we have peace, love, joy, purpose, and abundance infiltrating every aspect of the human consciousness such that this planet is changed forever and bettered in every moment, and that we each are led by the idea that we are, I am, the holy child of God, and that is the only thing that shows up in our life, in our experience, and in our world. For this I'm grateful. For this we allow ourselves to experience. And we let it be by the power of law. And so it is.
And so it is.
Oh, so it is.
That is so beautiful. Y'all need to take that this week into your life. When you're standing in that moment where you don't think that you have the clarity, just say to yourself, I am the child of God, the holy child of God. I am supposed to be where I am at this exact moment. And no false evidence appearing real is going to distract me. Take that into your week this week and just let it percolate. And remember that we only really have is one love. So, Valerie Love, I love you for being here. I'm going to call you after the show because we need to talk for a minute. But
oh, yeah.
I'm going to phone you.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much for being here. Valerie Love, everyone, she's going to be back. You know, I said the first time you're a friend, the second time you're family. So you'll be back, family. And I'm not going to let you all go. We're going to play like 2 seconds of my favorite summer song from Ash Ruiz. It's called Burn One Love, because if we can't go to the party, then the party's going to come to us. Enjoy your week. Take life to the max. Love one another. Smile at one another. Notice each other's smiles. And just listen to someone's story this week and hug them. People need hugs. So I love you all for listening. Tune in next Sunday to Max and Friends every Sunday. If you miss any portion of the show, latalkradio.com/Max. Tweet me at Max Tucci. And burn one love, Ash Ruiz. Good night, everyone. Take life to the max. Valerie, I'm calling you next.
We're gonna go get all that we love.